in the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Now when I am alone, oh, let's sing it. When I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Yes, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Now when I come to die, when I come to die, when I come to die, just give me Jesus. Yes, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Oh, you can have all this world. Yes, you can have all this world. You can have all this world. Give me
Amen. Amen. When your time comes to die, if you have the whole world, it won't mean nothing then. Won't mean a thing to you. If you've got it all, if you've got Him, you've got it all. If you don't have Him, you have nothing. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed camp meeting here last night? Did you appreciate the word of the Lord? I tell you what, we are taking incredible journeys into the Word of the Lord. It's just so, so good last night. I believe Brother Donnie enjoyed preaching it maybe as good as, or maybe even better than we enjoyed hearing it. He really enjoyed preaching that last night. I could just tell that, and I believe you enjoyed hearing it. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Play some more of it. You believe it with all your heart. In the morning when you rise.
In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Oh, give him a real good hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. We know that in singing and clapping hands and rejoicing in the Lord, that's just one of the many ways to worship. But we're going to worship while we're here. This part of the service means that we're laying a foundation for the furtherance of this service. How many of you want to build a good foundation this morning? You know, they're calling for a storm to hit this evening and maybe tomorrow. And it's going to be very cold. It's cold right now. It's going to probably be a lot of snow, but we're going to build a fire in here. How many of you are going to build a fire with me? How many of you are going to worship the Lord with all your heart? He's worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of your best. Amen. Second place is the first loser. We're not finished in second place. We're going to worship this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Now when I am alone, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Sing it, buddy.
Give me Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Give me Jesus.
I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request this morning. I want to remember Sister Anna Allen at home, sick in body, needs healing in her body today. Let's remember that prayer request. Zach and Susanna Holmquist says, please continue to pray for Asher. His fever broke on Friday, but he still is not gotten over the virus. Thank you, and may God bless. We want to remember that child in prayer as we pray today. Sister Barron wants us to remember a Bridget Becker who fell down her stairs and is very sore. She has a CT scan on her knee this week. She only came to the service one time, but she keeps in touch. So they're asking that we would remember that request this morning on her behalf. Certainly want to remember the Ward family, Brother Darrell, Sister Judy's Father Albert, of course, passed away, and the service will be here tomorrow evening. The visitation will be from 5 until 7, and then the service will be here at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. So remember that. Let's keep those folks in prayer as we pray. We'll remember Brother Howard Collins has a very sore neck on his right side. Can hardly stand on his left foot because of pain. So let's remember him in prayer today. Sister Linda Jablonski says, my grandson Avery is sick, and my two cousins in Maryland have health issues. They're asking that we would remember those needs. We'll remember Sister Nola Babb in prayer, who is having problems with her heart rhythm, has a doctor's appointment this week. So let's remember her as we pray today. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, we're serving a prayer answering God, aren't we? You believe that with all your heart? Could we stand together this morning as we get ready to take these needs to the Lord? Brother Bert, would you come this morning? Pray over these needs. Let's just commit this service into the hands of the Lord as we go on into the service today. God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, first of all, we do want to thank you that we can be here this morning. Lord, we know that there was calling for bad weather, but your grace has prevailed, Lord, once more. And just, Father, we're just overwhelmed sometimes. All we can think of is just give us you, Lord. That's just what we want. Pray you'd have preeminence in the service, Lord. And Father, as we've entered into your presence now by faith, holding request on our heart, each of us knowing what it is to suffer and go through trial, Father, losing loved ones, Father, suffering in body and spirit, Lord, and facing a world that's just hostile toward you, Lord, but giving us this glorious truth, Lord, and letting us just come in and get washed free of every hindrance, Father. We can even stand here believing, Lord, that every one of these needs will be met so perfectly. Nothing else could touch it the way that you can, Lord. But we just believe you, Lord, and we just thank you. It's totally committed to you now, according to your word, bearing one another's burdens, Lord. And we're asking, may you have preeminence and freedom. May you just appreciate, may we just appreciate your presence, Lord, and let you just appreciate our worship, Lord, our effort to give you these living sacrifices today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for the word. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're a visitor here today in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Is Brother Joel Brown, is he in the service this morning? He's not. I think he maybe had to work this today. So let's keep Brother Joel in prayer. He asked me if we would remember him in prayer, just going through some things right now, just seeking the will of the Lord and sickness in his body. Let's just pray for Brother Joel Brown. It's a lovely little family, Brother Joel, Sister Tamika, and their family. We appreciate him this morning. Let's sing a song this morning. We've wore it out, but I'm so glad we can still brag about it. And I do mean brag about it, not us, but brag about him, because he keeps holding me. Something is holding me. How about you? Are you glad something is holding you this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Singer.
I told him I couldn't sing. So y'all have to help me. That old sinus devil. Just pray for me. As I've said before, I'd rather sound like a frog and sing for Jesus and sound like Elvis and sing for the Buddha.
That's exactly right.
I'm so glad something's holding me. The trials of this world were getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear, and I was on the verge of giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there.
Satan lay before me. His temptation, it was his desire to steal away my faith. But I found in time the revelation. Jesus is the strength I need to keep me.
Say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus we learned the other day. We sung a little bit of it last night. And let's just sing a little bit of it again this morning before you're seated. Have a special. Brother Justin has a song for us. If he wants to come on the platform, be getting ready to sing for us this morning. We'll go right on into the service. I was sitting back in the audience last night. And I'm going to just be honest with you. I was looking for a feeling. It seemed like you go through dry spells in your life. Am I the only one that ever does that? Probably. But you go through dry times and you just like to feel the presence of the Lord. You just like to feel, you just like something to touch you. And I got to thinking, you're about as stupid as you can get. I say that to myself. When I don't feel nothing, I've still got His Word. I still got His promise. I still got this message that I can fall back on. I don't feel nothing a lot of times. And probably, do you feel everything all the time? Do you feel anything sometime? We don't. But we've got this promise. He said He loved me. He revealed this message to you and to me. What greater love could He show me than to show me the truth for my day? What greater sign, what greater feeling can I have? If every one of us tried to hang from these chandeliers this morning, that would be a feeling. That would be something to see. But there'd be a time you'd get tired, you'd have to let go. You'd fall down in the floor, kill, or out. But if you've got His promise, if you've got that seed, that germ in your heart, that seed that He placed there, it's like Brother Donnie said last night, before you was ever thought of, you were saved. Aren't you glad about it this morning? Aren't you glad that you know that with all your heart? Heaven must be a beautiful place. I know that heaven must be a beautiful place. I know a beautiful place, and it's filled with God's amazing grace. Sing about it now. I know that heaven must be a beautiful place. I said that heaven must be a beautiful place. we've come too far to turn back. Oh, sing it like you believe it, church. Thank you for singing so good. God bless you as you're seated. Give Brother Justin a hand this morning as he sings for you.
Pray real hard. If I can hear, we'll sing. Guess we don't need that mic. I wandered far from the fold where I was safe. It wasn't long till I'd found I'd lost my way. I cried with fear as the night began to fall. One more lost lamb, but I heard the shepherd's call. He saw my steps as they walked right into the dark. Though I went astray, I never once left his heart. Then not long ago, how I still recall, when I lost my way, I heard the shepherd's call. He left the fold to search out that one that strayed. Left 99, for there was one to be saved. There on that ledge, one step would have ended it all. But I felt the hand, and I heard the shepherd's call. He saw my steps as they walked right into the dark. Though I went astray, I never once left His heart. That not long ago, how I still recall, when I lost my way, then I heard the shepherd's call. That not long ago, how I still lost my way, and I heard the shepherd's call.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate that song this morning, Brother Justin. He's not far behind his daddy, is he? Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a baby dedication this morning, so if you just remain seated, Brother Donnie's getting ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. You want to pray for your pastor today? It's good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Let's sing a little chorus this morning. He's got it all in control as our pastor gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord this morning. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Time. He's got it all in control. Aren't you glad? He's got it all.
Way down in my soul. Got it all in control. Amen. Aren't we glad of that today? Brother Josiah and Sister Hannah, if they'll come and bring their baby today, we'll dedicate him to the Lord.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to Jesus.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we stand here today, Father, dear God, what a miracle life truly is. What a great plan you had in your mind to bring human beings on the earth. All the different systems that are in our body, and how the brain and the nerves and the cells and the molecular structure and the bones, all the systems, how they all work together. It's just a marvel. You made a great thing. The crown of your creation, being a man. Lord Jesus, I pray that as my brother and sister bring their little son Aaron into your presence, Heavenly Father, they want to give him back to you. I pray that you would help them to, with great responsibility, accept the charge that you have given to them through their union, to be able to raise him in the fear and the admonition of God. Lord, we know it's an evil, dark time to raise children. But yet, Father, the light is shining so bright. I pray that you would help them to always raise him in the light. May his mother, the fifth gospel, be able to project Jesus May his father be a sure foundation. May they always have food. May they have a warmness of love in their home. May the grace of God, I pray, be with them. If time should tarry that he would be old enough to be able to make his choice. May the Spirit of God deal with him while he's young, before the evil days would come upon him. Keep him from the evils, the diseases, the sicknesses that are so rampant in this day. We dedicate his little life to you today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. He'll make a great member. Look at him. I put him right to sleep. Let's stand together. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. I'd also like to say today that Brother Jack Benton turns 82 years young, I guess is the way you say it, when old people get old. I mean young. 82 years old today. Brother Benton is probably streaming the service, so what I'd like for us to do is all of us together wish our brother a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Brother Benton. God bless you. Amen. Certainly appreciate and love our brother. He's had a real tough time in the last several months. Had another surgery this week, but he is doing better by the help of the Lord. So we just trust we'll be able to see him again soon. We'll be here back at his post of duty. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Now they cannot tithe just anywhere. They cannot bring their offerings just anywhere. Only in the place that God chose to place his name. Now all the land of Israel is blessed. All of it is chosen by God. But this is a place chosen above the chosen. Elected among the elect. Verse 10. When you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Now I want you to notice they didn't get this place immediately. They fought for years and years. Usher, the historian, says the book of Joshua covers a span of 26 years. So it's many, many years that they're fighting and fighting. And before God actually gets the place where he can put his name is on over in the dispensation of David. So here they're promised this, but it hasn't arrived yet. Thither shall you bring all that I command you. Notice again the offerings. Your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offering of your hand, all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. Ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gate. For as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. Oh my. Acceptable worship. Let me say this before we pray. Acceptable worship must take its character from divine nature. Acceptable worship must take its character from divine nature. And that, of course, is God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful today, once again, that we can be gathered together in this building that we have set aside to worship you in, Lord. How many times over the years have you met with us, and we are so grateful for each time. Father, how many hungry hearts have you fed? How many have you healed? How many have you delivered? How many have you touched? Lord Jesus, we so appreciate it. We don't want to receive of your hand the bounty and blessing and never stop to say how we appreciate it. Once again, we're asking though, Father, we cannot live on yesterday's manna. We cannot live on what you did 5 years ago. We need your presence among us today. Would you take your word and speak to us again today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As we looked last night, if we can find God's immutable, unchanging nature and see the way that God is and the way that God reflects something, then we know that according to Malachi, he said, I'm God and I change not. According to the book of Hebrews, he said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we can find this about God's immutable, unchanging nature, then we would truly have to believe if he is God and remains God, that this would have to be ongoing with his nature from the old even to the New Testament. And we see that God, last night, God had a chosen place in the Garden of Eden. And there Adam, of course, being placed out after the fall, his sons being there, his son, and the son that he chose to raise. Whenever they were there worshiping God, and both of them at the same altar, at the same church, really, but one of them worshiped by revelation and the other one worshiped by knowledge of an intellectual perception of God. Yet both of them, of course, were sincere. We found out last night that Cain was actually more sincere than Abel was. And he actually done more for the Lord than Abel did. But yet, that was not what God received, but it was by revelation. And God has projected his own nature in the Old Testament that made it very, very clear that he had one place by which he would be able to receive true worship from people. Now, people all over the earth have worshiped gods. They worshiped deities. Many of them were fabrications of their own mind and what they thought God was like through traditions and so on. But yet, to worship the true God, we must come his provided way. And we know much of this, of course, ties back to the mythology, the way Satan, knowing that the religious nature of unconverted man, that he seeks something to worship. So if man don't know truth, then man will fabricate. I've studied some of these different religions of the world and looked at many of them, and it amazes me the way that people fabricated such things in their mind. The Gaelics, of how that they looked at things, and the different ones of the tribal Indians and the things, and you say, it takes a whole lot more faith for me to believe that nonsense than it does to believe the Bible. But you realize that it was that constant search in the human race looking for the divine truth. And Satan would do everything he can to try to stop him. And this is why that you find certain gods that are worshipped and accepted in other cultures beyond our what of course we know, but yet they would not go in our culture. Now you look at Shintoism and you look at Taoism and you look at many of the different isms around the world and you think, would that ever go for Americans? Never. It would never go over for Americans. Well, Islam go over for the most part? Will it ever become a predominant American type of religion or European? No. Not saying that they themselves won't do it. But look at where it originates and the type of people that it goes to, and that'll speak a lot about the religion itself. And you look at many of the transcendental meditation and you look at all the different things that it appeals to. And there'll be an occasional person that'll cross over the cultural barrier and be able to receive it. But for the most part, Satan has studied man. He's studied their culture, their well-being, and the way they look at things, and design religion so that it would appear and appeal to them in a more of appealing way than it would to others. And what does he do? Goes about and he makes another religion for the other folks. But God himself does not make a religion for the black folks and one for the white and one for the Indians. God just has his way, and then all races come to it and accept it if they want it. Because God is not going to change who he is and make himself different for a black man than he is for a white man. That's right. So God gives us one way, and then if we want to come to God, we accept that way. And if we don't, then of course we go our own way and choose what we want. Now here we see the unbreaking pattern of the character of God, how that God set forth in the Old Testament that he would have one place where the people would be able to worship him. They give their tithes in that one place. They bring their offerings in that one place. Everything as far as worship is concerned, they do in that one place. Now when they are home, of course they live their life. They
talk about the laws of God, and they do all that God commanded them at home. But once a year, once they arrive in the land of Canaan, Palestine, then all the males are to come up in these great festivals and feasts. Now, if you lived over, say, 100 miles, 250 miles, whatever it was, from the capital of Jerusalem, you and your sons every year are to come up to God's provided place. Because, say, God did not give you a place close to where you live. And he said, well, I'll make an outpost of my name, and I'll put my name mainly in Jerusalem. And then I'll make a little outpost of my name down in Beersheba. Or I'll make another one over in Dan, because that's the outermost post. And then I'll put one way up near the land of Egypt. But God actually demanded that the men and the young boys would actually make it an inconvenience upon themselves, and they are to travel there once a year and to come and offer the sacrifices and all that God said. Now, why would not God make religion convenience? Because that's what man wants and not what God wants. God wants it his own way. And this is why Brother Bam tells us about the Indians and the Eskimos and all them, when they would go up and drive a cart 50 miles in the snow, and they would come and they'd walk across freezing rivers, and they'd go through all kinds of things to be able to come to service. But when they would come, the power of Almighty God was so great. It was phenomenal what would take place. And he said, God honored their sacrifice so much. And look at us. We've got remote start on our vehicles. We set the temperature at 75 when we go out in the vehicle. And we've got so far to drive to church. It's so comfortable. It's so nice. And you've got the great long distance if you park up on the hill to walk from here down to the front. And then you've got that distance back. Everything is so nice, so convenient. If we don't like the heat, we tell the deacons. If it's too cool, we tell the deacons. If they don't like the sound system, we turn around and crank at the guys in the sound booth. Why? We are a people of convenience. We want everything so easy. And then we wonder why God don't move for us the way he does for people who don't have as much as we do. Sometimes our spoiled American ways ruin us when it comes to spirituality with God. Well, anybody going to preach with me, just going to smile at me. Now, you know it's the truth. And that's why I think it's sometimes it's good for us to be able to go against our way a little bit and go against the grain. And oh, I know sometimes there'll be a preacher that'll come in here and preach 15 minutes longer than what y'all like it. And boy, you're watching your watch and you get up and watch out, and I'm watching you because I'm seeing you're totally miserable and squirming around like a chicken on a hot rock. But I'll think sometimes it's good for you to get out of your spoiled ways, because I've spoiled you. I watch that clock back there, and I want to get you out of here. I don't want to wear you out. And you know what? You become so accustomed to it, it becomes your form of religion. If a man preaches over an hour, he's of the devil. Be careful what you say. It could be God anointing that man that may not normally preach but 55 minutes, but God makes him go an iron 15 in order to burn our hides and get us out of our Happy Valley mold. I guess we can all stand now and go home. I've ruined it, ain't I? Now, God, as I said, God is not a God of convenience. And he doesn't work with us. We work with him. He doesn't work in the way that we think it ought to be. He doesn't orchestrate it in the way that we think it is best. But if we're going to worship, then we must worship according to his own call. And he sets it up by his own divine nature. Now, even though it would seem inconvenient, it wouldn't even seem practical, it would not seem sensible that the name of God is going to be placed in one particular place, and everybody that's going to receive, they don't pay their tithes in an outpost, and then they're mailed in. They don't fax in their support. They don't stream as many people have to today. But they actually would have to show a bodily presence, and they're not going to be accepted any other way. Now, watch this again in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 13. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. Now, listen, what an inconvenience that God made for them. So a man is trespassed against God, and a man wants to make peace before the Lord, and he's done a sin that requires a burnt offering. Now, that man lives 75 miles from Jerusalem. He don't have a taxi. He can't go to the airport and get a plane. He can't go get a bus. And let's say the man is a poor man. And the man, he doesn't have a car. Of course, he didn't have many of them, the rich people, even in that day, would have a donkey or a cart. But this man is a poor man. The only means of transportation that he has is his feet. But he really wants to make peace with God. And if he does, he will be willing to walk the 75 miles to where the house of God is and the 75 miles back in order to make peace with God. Can't you see then why when Jeroboam wanted to build up other places and put a place over here and a place over there and make it so much more convenient for the people that his convenient religion went over big time among the lazy Israelites? Because it was so much easier to go just 2 miles down the road to make peace with God, and he set up the golden calves, and they really wasn't worshiping them as a golden calf. In the imagery perspective, it was only a symbolism of the invisible image of God. So they was not going to go to idolatry. They was not going away from God, but it was a religion of convenience. I thank God for the ability to stream services. I thank God for all the conveniences that we make available for people, but I found out with a lot of folks it only makes them more lazy, and they stay home on Wednesday night when they could be here. Well, praise the Lord. You just remember, God will hold you accountable for your laziness. Lord Jesus, what are you doing to us this morning? Now, God, of course, is the one who lays out this program. Now, notice what he says. But in the place which the Lord shall choose, in one of thy tribes. So now, here is the elect of God, all of Israel being called of God, all the tribes being called of God, but there's going to be one chosen out of all the elect. And there's going to be then in that country by which Judah was laid out, then Judah has many cities and towns and places around, and God is going to choose one out of that. So here we have an elect, and then we have a tribe chosen out of the 12. And then we're going to have a city chosen out of the chosen out. So we have a chosen out of the chosen out of the chosen. Some folks are perfectly satisfied being chosen, not me. I want to be chosen of the chosen of the chosen. I want to be whatever God's name is, that's what I want to be. The inconvenience doesn't really matter. Whatever I've got to do, if God spoke to me this week and told me to walk away from this church and go to Timbuktu and start a church and I had 3 people there, I'd say goodbye to y'all, I'd hug your necks and we'd cry together and I'd be gone. You mean you'd go? Absolutely I'd go. I'd come here when he told me to. Against all the advice and counsel of my brothers. But you know what? What's important to me is I go where the name of God is. That's right. And it should be you, and I know for many of it is. Now watch in verse 17. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, or of thy wine, or of thy oil, or the firstlings of the herds of thy flock, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offerings, nor heave offering of thy hand. But yet now here they are doing this, and they're offering it to God, but they can't eat it just wherever they want to. They can't pick where they want to go. You see, friends, this is why we should pray over the church we go to. Well, it's not just multiple choice. Well, I'm going here and the people pick churches like they pick a grocery store. Well, I like Ingles, I like Kroger, I like Food City, I like this, that, and the other. And instead of praying over the church they go, they pick it according to the way they like it. Well, I like the music here. Well, I don't like a big church. I like a little church, so I'm going there. That is not even your choice in the first place. It should be where God wants you. And I know many of you have never chosen me as your pastor because I'm too stern, I'm too hard, I'm too straight. Many of you in your flesh would have chosen men much nicer, men that are much more genteel. You would have chosen men that could have been governors of states, senators, actually some of them could have run for president because they're so politically minded. But God in his great wisdom set you here for me to whoop you, beat you, thrash on you, and preach you into a body change. That's God's love for you. God overrode your stupidity as he overrode mine, and he put us together because he knew we needed to be together. Now some of y'all might want to live next door to Brother Barry Coffin when you get to heaven, because some of y'all love Brother Barry so much better than you love me. You love Brother Tim better than you love me, and you love this one better than you love me. But you know what? If God gave you to me, you'll be mine even in heaven. And actually, it will be for all of our good. Why? Because God puts us under a ministry that he knows that gift will be able to get right down where we live. Now I can call those brothers' names and they won't get offended at me. Now watch in verse 18, but thou must eat them before the Lord thy God. You mean God's not omnipotent? God's not omnipresent? Thou shalt eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Thou and thy son, and he goes through it all again, the man servant, the maid servant, and so on. Now let's read several scriptures this morning, if you don't mind, to validate this. In verse 19, take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. Chapter 14, verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, and the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord, notice the place which God, not you, it was not the tribes that got together. What do you say? Let's pick Beth Haven. Let's pick up. God said, that ain't your choice. I'm the one who's doing this. This is not up for a vote. Amen. Amen. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. Now you go back to the tithe again. Tithe of corn, wine, oil, and so on. Verse 24. And in the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord shall bless thee. Now God took this into consideration, but he's still not going to have an outpost of his name. They're to work it around where that they still must come to God's provided place. Chapter 16, verse 4. There shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts 7 days. Neither shalt thou, now notice this is the Exodus coming out, of anything of the flesh in commemoration of what God done, bringing them out by displaying the token. Now he's giving them the festival of this to be able to keep and worship for years and years. Verse 5. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Notice, they don't know where it's at yet. They're getting the laws of when they get into the land, but they don't know where it's at. This is still the book of Deuteronomy, so they've not yet moved into the land. They don't have the place because they're not in rest. Lord Jesus, children, if you only recognize that God even speaking these words to us signifies where we are spiritually. That for many of you, you have moved into your Sabbath. Your soul has crossed over into that place of rest, and he can let the name of God, God's land, Lamb had a name. Amen. And it was not Branham. It was not Reagan. It was not Smith. It was Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. At the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season thou camest forth out of Egypt. Thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Now, in the land of Egypt, they don't have a particular place to worship. So every man, his own house is the right place to do it. But God's saying prophetically, when you come into your inheritance, there is a place that I will put my name. I will choose it myself, and I will let it be known to you where it is, and this is where you must keep the Passover. Now, you cannot say you're an older man or an older woman, and yet you want to keep the Passover, and you're living in the land of Palestine. So what do? You got to load up in a cart and go up to the place where God's name is. If you want to eat the Passover feast in this hour, you got to eat it where God's name is. The manifestation, the revealing of the word is the manifestation of the name of God. The word of God interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. Notice this, verse 11. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. Again, he says it. This is what they're supposed to do now when they go to church. Rejoice. Thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant, the Levite within thy gates, and the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. Now I want you to notice it. I'm going to give you so many of these so that it will establish this principle of God, that God is immutable and God is unchanging in his ways. So if God had one place of worship in the Old Testament, God has one in the New. And God has one now. Notice this, chapter 26, verse 2. Thou shalt take of the first of the fruit of the earth, when thou bring of thy hand, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Amen. So you can't take your tithes and just give them anywhere you want to give them. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 26. And unto his son will I give one tribe. Now this is God after the kings of Judah had begun to rebel. This is God speaking on the behalf of David. that David, my servant, may always have a light before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen to put my name there. Now, as we looked at it Wednesday night, that this city, Jerusalem, was just a Jebusite city until God chose it. David captured it. Solomon built the temple, and God moved in. Now, this changes because the direction of God is going to lead this man. Now, Jerusalem itself is a great mystery because Jerusalem is built on a very high hill. For those of you who have been there, it's built up on a very great part. It's a rampart that goes up to it. So it's a very, very ideal location in order to pick a city. It was almost considered impenetrable by the time that David had come upon the earth because kings had tried and tried and tried to get it and couldn't get in. But there was one way in, and that was the mystery of how to go in and take the city, and that was a waterway with a very small entrance that would go in and you came underneath the city. Of course, this is where that they would go down. This is how the city could be in total enclosure by kings and all types of people trying to conquer it. And they would think, how can they live? How can they drink? Because inside the city of Jerusalem was an underground spring, and that spring had an exit on the south side, so they would come up through that. And this is the way the church has survived persecution. This is the way the real church of the living God has been able to survive death and all kinds of stuff. Why? She has a living spring of water on the inside of her. It's not external that we live by, but it is internal that we live by. And Jesus said, if any man believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is why you can survive when your church may not be having revival. Your family may not be having revival, but you stay in one because you've got your own stream built in. It comes with your experience. So this place, my people would have looked at it and probably thought, my, this is beautiful. And I've been to Haifa myself and been to the seaport cities and been to some of the more beautiful places of Jerusalem, around Jerusalem and Bethhaven and Bethpage. And these are places that maybe you and I would have chosen other than Jerusalem, but that's where God chose. You see, God chose to place his name there. And once David captured it, then it began to expand, it began to grow. Then it takes on the spiritual symbolism of a new name, which is called Zion. As the Bible progresses, so progresses the revelation and the understanding of the compound meaning of the name Zion. What's this in 2 Kings chapter 21 verse 7? King Manasseh, which was Hezekiah's son, he began to rebel against the Lord and done wrong. He set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I had chosen out of all the tribes, will I put my name forever. Now here they are, the people of Israel. The king has started to go away from the word, but yet God is still pointing them back to the promise that he made to David. I chose this house. I chose this city. I chose this tribe. And I said I would leave my name here. And this is the condemnation, of course, that they received because of it. Second Chronicles chapter 6 verse 5. Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be ruler over my people Israel. Now what's God? Now a dispensation has changed. They have come to a turning in the corner. God said, now up to this time I hadn't chosen any city. I had pronounced no city's name. Oh my. But now I'm fixing to reveal a name. A name of a city and the name of a man. Glory. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. Now the mystery of Jerusalem's destiny was now unfolded by the word of God calling her name. Now the other cities might have thought, well, maybe it'll be us. Maybe it'll be us. Maybe it'll be us. But what identified her and separated her more, it was when God called her name. Do you understand what made you different from even maybe your siblings or your cousins or whatever more? What made you different? It was the grace of God. And when he called your name by this word of God, and maybe your family still thinks you're absolute nuts, but God called your name. God spoke your real identity, and when it did, that separated you. Praise be to God. Notice, so God now speaks the name of the city. I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name be there, and have chosen David. So if you got a city, you got to have a man. Now in this chosen place, now we've got the city. You'll agree with me, it's Jerusalem. How many agrees it's Jerusalem, according to the Bible? How many will also agree that the chosen lineage would be the lineage of David? But the name now that was put in the city was not David. Yet, it was called the city of David. You see, this city shared these titles in common. It was called the city of David and the city of God. That's quite something to have in common, isn't it? That God allows your name associated with his in that you own the same thing. Oh, glory. The Holy Ghost is God's Spirit. Well, may you and I say the same thing. The Holy Ghost is the same thing that's ours. It's our possession. We can say the same thing about the blood of Jesus and heaven and all these things. My. So God identifies now the place where his name will be. And then he identifies the man by whom he has chosen through his lineage in order that the name might be made manifest. And of course we know why that Jesus had to come being in the natural lineage, the son of David. What? 2 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Now, whenever we change dispensations, and of course we're very familiar with the time of the Maccabees and the different times of the dispensations of Israel, how the temple was to be rebuilt upon this chosen place. But yet we know in the spiritual sense that God gave the name called Zion in Psalm 78 verse 67. Moreover, he refused the tabernacles of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah. The Mount Zion, which he loved. Now notice the tribe had an earthly, oh glory. This tribe had an earthly identity of possession. This was their lot. This was their portion. And when God chose this city, he chose them. Them and the city were in the same shoes. Hallelujah to God. Can't you see your election runs before the foundation of the world? Can't you see why that this city is called the bride city that's going to come down out of heaven? I, John, looked and I saw that new Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And your identity reigns right there in that city because you're of this earth. Imagine some of the folks in that day, it might have wrinkled their nose a little bit when they read this where David said, moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved, which of course happened to be David's home. So folks hear us preaching, they say, they think there's something special. We do. They think they got something different to all the rest of the churches in the Tri-Cities. We do. And we're not one bit ashamed about it either. Praise the Lord. Hey, it's not my fault God chose me. To me, it's a blessing. God chose me not to be a Baptist. I'd never, can you imagine me being a Catholic priest? Yeah, no more, mama, mama, how many big toes? Yeah, mama, I can never even say all them words. You imagine me being a Russian Orthodox? Can you imagine me being Episcopal? Can you imagine me being a Baptist? I can't imagine me being a Pentecostal. That's what it used to be. God chose me to be bride. God chose me to live in the city. I'm not going to turn him down because it makes some folks upset. I'm going to move in and I'm going to enjoy every square inch that's mine. Amen. I am chosen by God. God chose us. God did not choose Oral Roberts to be Malachi 4. He did not choose Billy Graham to be Malachi 4. He chose William Marion Branham to be Malachi 4. And with it comes this message, and with his message comes rapturing faith. The word Zion occurs 150 times. I found this interesting. Let me read it to you. 150 times in the Bible. The word initially, it's not even a Hebrew word in its origination, but it means fortification. Fortification. So Zion is anonymous. Synonymous rather with the city of God. But it also carries the same title, being the city of David. Zion is described as the city of David in the natural sense, described as the city of God in the spiritual sense. Kind of merging it together, you know, sort of like this title that I love, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. So what brings them together? The future home. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. So where do they meet together? In the pyramid city. So the city, oh Lord, the city is the meeting place. It's what brings the earthly bride and the heavenly bridegroom into the same place. What? The home. The future home. What was Jerusalem? It was the home of God. It brought the city of David and the city of God, merged them together under one title and claim. It was Zion. Psalms 87:2, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And of course, David does not include an apology. He just considered himself happy to be living there. Now, what about the New Testament? We have all these different denominations and all these different people claiming that they're going to heaven. They've got the Holy Ghost. They're in the city of God, the name of God. They're part of God's move. They're this, that, the other. Let me read this to you from God's provided place of worship. Brother Ben said, the thing I want to speak about this morning is what God has only one place that the worshiper can meet God. Only one place. Through the ages, man has sought this secret place of God. Through all the ages, even Job wanted to know where he lived at. If he could go to his house and knock on his door, Job wanted to find God's dwelling place. Cause there, God and his family is worshiped together. Grab your fan, because that person beside you may be fixing to pass out. Worship together? Well, I can understand us worshiping him. But who is worshiping us? Take your hand and do it this way. Work it down. If we are being worshiped together, who is worshiping the bride? You see, why does this stumble you? It's because of your perception of worship. Because you think this is all worship. Oh, I adore you. You need to study the word worship a little further. And you'll find that it means an explicit adoration, an exaltation, and showing an extreme amount of affection and love toward a certain person or a thing. So we're worshiping him. Can I go ahead and say it? We've heard people say, well, that man loves his wife so much. He loves his girlfriend so much. He worships the ground she walks on. Now, is that literally that he actually falls down and every step she does? I'll tell you one thing. He's got a muddy nose if that's the way that it is. Does she fall down and follow her everywhere she goes in worship. But what is it? It is a saying on our part, and most everybody that's ever heard that knows exactly what it means, don't you? Then you do not expect that man to get down on his knees and bow down and worship the ground she walks on. But I want you to think in the Song of Solomon. We'll look at it maybe when I get back from Arizona. But in the Song of Solomon, you'll notice the parallel of this quote. How that both are being worshipped together. He will look at her and he will describe her and his affection toward her. Then she looks back at him and she loves and adores and exalts and praises. And then he goes back again. Both of them are being worshipped together. He is loving and adoring above the church. Above the 144,000. How hallelujah to God. God looked at Venus and he loved it. He looked at Mars and he loved it. But he looked at this earth and he gave her the color of blue, which is the color of life. He loved this earth as one of his attributes above all the rest of the trillions of planets and stars. His love was made manifest on this earth by her capability of receiving the spoken word, let there be, and her womb responded to the words of life. God needed a womb to sow his seed. And he called this womb earth. And God said, let there be, let there be, and let every seed bring forth of its kind. And that law is still in effect. And the earth showed she was God's chosen by her ability to respond to that word. She took that word into her womb. And she had the corresponding part to that word. She would shout to that word in her womb. And through the warmth and the moisture, hallelujah, she began to give birth to those words of life. So here come a pine tree, a poplar tree, a walnut. Oh my, all these bushes and trees and flowers and millions of species on the face of the earth. It proves she was God's chosen. God could have said to Mars, let there be this, let there be that. Mars does not have the proper core. Mars does not have the proper gravitational pull. Mars does not have the proper light, nor the proper amount of sunshine. Don't you understand why some of these Mars Christians never bring forth a word of life? It's the right seed, but it's in the wrong place. Abraham sowed the right seed, but sowed in the wrong womb of Hagar, and it brought forth a rebellious man. Praise the Lord. This message is landing in the hearts of lots of wrong people, and it brings forth a rebellious bunch of people that can never be converted. But if the right seed falls in the right place, it'll manifest itself exactly. Glory to God. Job wanted to find God's dwelling place, because there God and his family is worshiped together. Can I go on? If I choke you to death, can I go on? Now once he said, we're going to have to find where God put his name then. If we find out what God's name is and where he put it, then we've got the place of worship as soon as we find that. Well, that's simple, isn't it? So if we find the place and find his name, we've got it. There you have it then. There it is. Alone, for him alone, God's chosen place of worship, God's place. God chose to meet man. Was not in a church. Not in a denomination, not in a creed, but in Christ. That's the only place that God will meet a man. He can worship God is in Christ. There's only, listen now, no matter if you're a Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Protestant, whatever you might be, there's only one place you can correctly worship God. That's in Christ. And you're not in Christ just by accepting him as your Savior. You're not in Christ by believing or the creed and the, you know, the dogmas, and you can even say it this way. I believe every word Brother Bram said. That don't mean you're in Christ. That's just words you've heard somebody else saying. You're repeating them. My mouth. There's not another name in heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. He is God's name of redemption. Now you agree with me that God had one provided place in Jerusalem. Right? The house of God, the name of God, but there was a certain lineage that this name must come down through. And remember, for David's sake, hundreds of years later, God is still protecting an element of posterity because of David's sake. So for the sake of a man that was just merely a mortal man, God loved him so much, he was doing things for his sake. How much more is God going to do for Christ's sake? Notice he's got one name of redemption, and that belongs to the human race, and that is the name of Jesus. That's his name he chose to put. Where did he put it? He put it in Christ. Because you can't even worship until you first come into the place of worship. Now, this afternoon, us not having church on Sunday, if I chose to go to a local Pentecostal church, or a Baptist, or a Methodist, could I worship there? I could, because I toted my place of worship with me. I might be the only one in the building that God would receive their worship, because if they're worshiping under denominational auspices instead of the revealed word of God, God won't receive the worship. It's vain. Why? Because I'm in Christ. So that don't mean that I've got to be at Happy Valley. God only hears my prayers at Happy Valley. I pray for many more sick people, believe me, out of church than I do in church. All the time, constantly. People call me on the phone, emails, whatever more, around the world. Constantly praying for folks. So we don't have to just be in this particular building. But we have to be in the particular building. The mystical building. Now, in that, God then has assigned a way by which his name would be revealed, and God gave a human name of redemption. So God's name, Lamb, become a man. Let me say it again. God's name, Lamb, become a man. No Israelite recorded in Scripture that you'll ever find the name of the Lamb they sacrificed. No doubt it was the custom, though, to give animals names. But you'll never find Moses saying, Abinadab brought up and he brought his little lamb called so-and-so. And Gideon come up and he brought his little lamb called so-and-so. And so-and-so brought his name. Their name was not important. But this lamb was important that he be named right. You can't call him curly. You can't call him whitey. You can't call him blacky. You can't call him spotty. This name must be a name chosen by God. It cannot be God's name of heaven. It must be God's name of redemption. Amen. Oh my. You can't even worship until you first come into the place of worship. That's the only place God meets the worshiper. He chose to put his name. All others, you trust in them, you'll die. When you deny the body, the blood, the word of Jesus Christ, you're dead the minute you do it. It's God's chosen place of worship. There's where his name is, exactly. There's where he chose to put his name. Not in the church, but in his son, Jesus Christ. Safety lied in the place of his choosing. In his lamb, in the name of the lamb. Brother Branham was not the name. Baptist is not the name. Church of God is not the name. Notice it was a male lamb, a he, not a her. Amen. Not a church, she, but his name, not her name. Where he's going to meet the people, but it's not her name, but in his name. Can't you see why that we stand against the denominational system? Because they're identified by what? Her name, not his. What's Matthew chapter 1 verse 21? The angel of God speaking to Mary. You shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yahshua. Or as we know it in the Greek, or in the English rather, Jesus. For he shall save the devil's people. He shall save his people from their sins. So you mean that were already his people before they're saved? Hallelujah. He shall save. Now, if you want to argue with, you argue with this person here, not with me, okay? He shall save his people from their sin. Friends, you being loose from your sins was not what made you a son or daughter of God. What's God's name, Lamb, now in St. John 5:43? I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Which it's amazing because the Jews for many, many years after this received many different messiahs. And actually there was thousands of them that were killed because they followed these messiahs in different dispensations. When also it carries over to the Gentile dispensation to where the Gentiles will receive one that will come in his own name. So Jesus, notice, Jesus, the Lord Jesus says, I've come in my Father's name. Which was what? Did Jesus ever say Adonai? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Shammah. Boy, y'all are quiet. Does that mean I'm supposed to be quiet? St. John 10:25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. They were questioning now. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But can you show me any example in Scripture where Jesus ever laid hands on anybody or ever touched anybody and said God's name? In the name of God, in the name of Adonai, in the name of Jehovah. So being in his name is not just saying it all the time. Oh, Jesus, 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 oh, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus. Because Jesus did all of these works and never even said it in the way we do. Well, glory. Y'all want to get in the right place of worship or not? I mean, if we want to get where God's name is, we got to find out what God's name is and how God's name is manifested so we'll know what to look for. Mama, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me. Now, isn't this amazing? That the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of who I am. Now, the scribes could not say this nor do this, nor could the Pharisees. Hang tight. Neither could the disciples at this time. They were given authority, but they were not giving the name of God by new nature yet. So they were given authority and they simply carried out what Jesus said. Go heal the sick, go do this, go do that, based on my word. All right, we're going out to, devil, leave this man. Jesus said for us to do that, the devil would leave him. Then you crippled thing, you leave this woman, you get out of her, and the devil would leave. On the authority that was handed down, second-handed from Jesus to them. Oh, glory. St. John 12:28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So God spoke out of heaven and said, I have glorified my name and I'll glorify it again. So what was God doing? God was saying, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah, glory to God. God glorified his name in the Lamb by vindicating what the Lamb had to say. Now, if the Methodist Church is of God, its system, its organization, then they would pray to God and say, God, glorify your name. Will God answer back through the voice of thunder and say, I have glorified my name in the Methodist Church and I will glorify it again. How could God merge his name in with a denominational prostitute, her instead of a him? Come on. Let me bring it on down. How can God do the same thing as some of these prostitutes around the message? Amen. That make their own little groups and call them by revelations. Come on, children. You might as well say amen. Will God identify himself every group around the message that raises up and every preacher that wants to be above all the rest of his brothers? And will God answer back to him? Absolutely not. God will be identifying himself with a prostitute spirit. But hear the voice of God. Notice this. There came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said it. So the voice of God sounds like thunders, huh? So when John heard seven thunders that they uttered their voices, So what was it? The voice of God thundering out. Not seven men in this message. Notice St. John 17:6. I have manifested thy name. The word name here includes attributes, characteristics, and traits of the name. I have manifested thy name. Now think of this. If any of you brothers actually manifested the name of your father. Now maybe you're called exactly by your father's name as I am. My father was Donald Lee Reagan. So I'm Donald Lee Reagan Jr. But depending on who you had talked to and what they would think about my father, and compare what they would think about my father and what my father was, and compare me to that, then they would say, he's not like his daddy at all. His dad was a good Pentecostal, and he believed in speaking in tongues and shouting, and he's off in some cult somewhere. He's not his father's son. So as far as the way they would compare me manifesting the name of Don Reagan, the day people that knew my daddy in his earlier days when he drove a stock car, raced, and they'd compare me to that. They'd say, he's a chicken. That boy's a coward. My daddy drank before he got saved and had done all kinds of things. And maybe some of his old cronies that knew him then. And they said, who are you? I think I know you. I'm Don Reagan's son. Oh, Don Reagan's son. Boy, you been out drunk lately? I ain't never got drunk in my life. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. Your daddy done this and that and the other. You ever do that? I don't do none of that stuff. I ain't never done well. You're not a manifestation of your father's name. You're not the Don Reagan I knew. That's exactly right. And I could not honestly say that I, by action, by life, by virtue of inward nature, I have not manifested the name Don Reagan. Why? Because I'm manifesting my other father's name. Now, if I am called a Christianos, a real Holy Ghost-filled Christian, then I want people to be able to look at my life and yours as well and say, he prays for those that despitefully use him. He does not go around gossiping and this and that and the other, and she don't do this and that. And they say they are manifesting the name of God. Now, not that you can go through all the seven compound redemptive names of God, but many of you, maybe you could not remember them all. Maybe you could not remember the names of Jehovah in the Old Testament and through the names that He revealed Himself. That's not really the important part for you. It's the life of the Lord Jesus manifesting Himself out of your life. What's this? Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. Then in verse chapter 17, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Not to everybody. Everybody never saw the manifestation of the name of God, though they saw the works. Give me just a couple more minutes. I'll close. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were. And thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. You see, a little bit of the divine nature was expressed in Genesis 1, the creation of the universe. A little bit more of the divine nature was expressed as God called Abram. A little bit more as God revealed His Shekinah in the tabernacle, the temple. A little more down through Malachi and on. But now, the fullness of the attribute of God is manifested. So we see God in a way we've never seen Him before. Did He come under a new name? Yes. Human name of redemption, Jesus. But now that name has become so used and so abused and so common that people use it as a curse word. And even people who are Christians saying the name, I am a Christian. Bob Barry, painted face, looking like the world, acting like the world, dressing ungodly and decent. Preachers compromising on the word. Men afraid to say amen when it's preached. and call themselves Christians, but could God echo from heaven and say, I have manifested my name through your life? You see, having mentioned the name of Jesus is not near enough. What's in Acts 3:16? His name through faith in his name. You see, this is called a Hebrew as a word that in the Hebrew language, the name or the thing, the name or of a thing or a person signifies the thing itself. And his name through faith in his name has made this man strong. His name through faith in his name. His name through faith in his name. How could they do these things? They were in God's place of worship. They're worshiping God. And God is adoring them and loving them. And his handiwork is oozing out of their lives. St. John 17:12, and we'll close. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I have declared unto them thy name. Amen. But yet we have no scriptures where Jesus ever mentioned the name Adonai, Jehovah. How did he refer to him? By title, Father. Philip, have I been so long time with you and you haven't known me? He that has seen the Father, who has seen me, has seen the Father. What did he refer to him as? Father, Father, Father. Father is not a name. If it is, then I'm God. Because my daughters call me Father. So Father is what? A title. How did he manifest the name of God? By sharing with these intimate disciples. What is John 17? From John 14 on over for several chapters here. It's Jesus after Judas has left and they're walking on the road to the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. And the Father's name is being manifested. Secrets that have been kept hid for 3.5 years of ministry are now coming out. And he's not saying, Adonai, Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. But he's showing God's character, God's traits. And it is the name of God. Listen. Hallelujah. The gallery of worship. Amen. I know you've got that stunned look on your face and you're trying to figure out what in the world was he talking about today. Well, it's one of them type of sermons that you have to kind of... Then go back again and... Oh, now I see what he is saying Sunday morning. It'll hit some of y'all about 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. You'll let out of the bed like I don't know what, a big squall and scream. Your wife think you got a kidney stone, sure as a world. And it'll hit you. That's what he was saying yesterday. I never understood it. I didn't know what in the world he was getting at. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I have declared unto them thy name, and the word declared is made known. Give to understand, to become known, be recognized. Gain knowledge of, have thorough knowledge of. So they could go out and preach a series on the name of God. Did Peter ever preach a series on the names of God? Did Paul ever preach a series on the names of God? Or any of these apostles? They preached on the name of God. What was it? The manifested name. Don't you understand what set Brother Branham apart? In so many ways. First of all, he's a vindicated prophet. But one thing that set him so apart than even the men of his day. Jack Coe had all kinds of miracles. And there's lots of other men of God during that time frame. You look on Jack Coe and on YouTube, you'll find Brother Branham standing there with his hands up like this, worshiping God. What set him apart? It was the name. What are you talking about, Brother Donnie? He brought to us the character, the traits, the things about God we never knew. We never understood. He broke the mystery off of this mysterious God and made it so simple that a schoolboy or girl could understand it. You can listen to them preachers behind him and watch them preachers as he's bringing down through there a boy without a high school education. A man that never even graduated from the 8th grade, much less high school, and would sit there and hold them preachers spellbound. I watched a video of a guy the other day on YouTube that was there actually in Brother Mem's meetings. He wasn't a message believer, but he was a preacher. And he was there in the meetings in Tulsa in 1960. You can watch this man as he's talking about Brother Branham. And the way God used him and the way God done him. And this other man that was asking questions, he said, was this William Branham, was he arrogant? With this many miracles and signs and wonders, was he an arrogant man? He said, no, sir, he wasn't. He says, as a matter of fact, I saw him done that service one night. And he said, Lord, if I've said anything out of the way, that'd grieve you. If I've said anything in the flesh, Lord, forgive me. And he said, then I saw him turn, and by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he started going down them lines and telling people their names and where they'd been to the doctor and what had went on. He said, I've never seen anything like it then, before, or since. Hallelujah. That's why all them people wanted his anointing. They wanted his anointing, but they didn't want his teaching. They wanted the signs, the wonders, the miracles. They still do. The man that was interviewing this other man said, that's the anointing I want. I thought, yeah, you hypocrite. I know you. I know who you are. That's what you want, and you want around the fringes of the message. But you know what makes us different? It's not just Brother Branham's anointing. We know there's only one of them. We don't want to be his prophetic anointing. We want to be the bride. But one thing we love that they hate, the Word. The Word. The name of God. It brought to us a clear understanding of the place of worship. This is why we know we don't have to be at Branham Tabernacle today to worship God. We don't have to be down in Shreveport to worship God or at this certain spot. But wherever the name is revealed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there we can worship together. I hope this will help you to understand why when I preach and when I bring up to this spot where we are, I don't want you to get no big rush to leave. I don't want you to just hurry on out. Oh, I got to go eat. I've got to do this. There may be times you have to do that. But that shouldn't be our manner. Our manner should be waiting. We've now been brought to the place where God and His people are worshipped. Let him take you by the hand. Rub over your fingers real gently. Let him take you by the arm. Look up into your eyes, you imagine. You ever look into the eyes of some people and they are so powerful that you can't even look at them? I mean, they're just, you know, your eyes will dart and dance. And can you imagine looking in the eyes of Jesus, that Jesus takes you by the hand? He says, calm down, Skip, calm down. You're nervous. I mean, I can feel you're nervous, but calm down. Don't you know I love you? I loved you before the foundation of the world. I know you think you're nothing. I know that you think when you get to heaven, you've never really done anything or nothing has been accomplished out of your life. But you are so blessed for me to love you this way. Many of you, you think, Lord, have mercy. What will I get when I get to heaven? I'll be ashamed to stand up by Brother Branham and Paul and Luther and preachers, Brother Darrell and these great people saying all this great work for God. What will I ever get? What will I ever do? I understand. That's the way I feel. I'm not a great person. I don't have the capacity to be a great person. I'm just a little person that one day God called me and allowed me to be among great people. And the greatest men of this age call me their friend. The greatest people of this age call me brother and friend. I don't know that I could ask for a greater reward. I've set my professional golfers flying, people coming by, getting their autograph, and I'm thinking, who in the world was that guy? And then somebody told me what his name was, and me sitting there talking to him, and I didn't know who he was. Then I thought, I wonder if he knows who I am. I'm a son of God. Born of the Spirit of God. Maybe he wants mine. You look at yourself and think you're nobody, but God looks at you and says you are the elect. You are the chosen, out of the chosen, out of the chosen. Glory to God.
Let's just worship together a little bit before we go, shall we? I know they're giving some snow after a while and ice and this and that and the other, but right now I'm predicting that divine nature would like to come into this place, pull you up next to Him, and let you just feel His love minister to you this morning. If you're sick or weary or down or frustrated, won't you start loving on Him? This is a place of worship. God's name, the manifestation of His word for this hour, where God and His people are worshipped together. Hallelujah. You adore Him? Let Him adore you back. You see, some of us find it so hard. It's because of the way we judge worthiness. We find it so hard. Some of you still struggle with God loving you. Some of you come from abusive dad, abusive marriage, this, that, and other, and you struggle so hard. Some of you just struggle with a pastor. You just can't believe that I really love y'all. You struggle with a pastor being able to love you. I don't know what more I could do. I'm not going to go out and buy all of y'all's dinner, but to me, that ain't nothing compared to what I gave you this morning. The Lord could give you new cars without payments and give every one of you a 10,000 square foot house without payments and give you all kinds of things. But would you really consider Him loving you more by giving you that than by giving you this?
No.
Do you understand what happened here last night and today?
Yes.
The name of God was made more real.
That's right. That's true.
How many ways can you spell Jesus? How many languages can you say it in, most of us? English. Brother Charlie sang it in Spanish and English. Most of us, all we can say Jesus in is English. But we don't want to learn more about the name, saying the name. But it's who the name belongs to.
Amen.
Jesus came in this place last night and today. The same Jesus has said, I have declared thy name. And right before us, that same Lord Jesus took His word and declared the name of God. Why? To make His character, His traits, His will, His desire, and His love for you more real. Praise God. Sing it for us, Harry. Oh, how I love Him. How I adore Him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. You may not hear Him harmonizing with you. And His words, of course, singing a little bit different. But He'd singing something like this. Oh, how I love her. How I adore her. She is my reason and purpose of being. She gives me reason to exist. I went to Calvary for her. She is my sweetheart, my dove forever. Someday I'm coming to take her home. Let's sing it to Him now.
Down from
Lord Jesus,
His glory,
Lord Jesus,
ever living story.
Hallelujah. God's
my
name,
God
Lamb.
And
my God and Savior came. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Amen, Lord.
Born in
oh, let's love Him now, children.
To His honest manger.
Hallelujah. Oh.
The man of sorrows,
tears,
and anger.
Lord Jesus, this prayer calls, I pray, Father, in Your name. Lord God, may Your presence go with it, bring deliverance, I ask
for.
Place of worship.
And I let them beat my back until they tore shreds of meat from my body. It was for her healing. When I bowed my head on the cross and I said, "It is finished," it was for her that I did it. And I called her name from the great book of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we worship you today. Oh, great Lord. Sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my little children, when will you ever believe me that you are everything to me? Oh, I love you, my little bride around the world. I so adore you. Black and white, red and yellow, from all the races, I've called you to be my bride. I sent you my Malachi 4 messenger with a message to change your hearts, my children. And very soon now, it will change your bodies. Now let's worship Him. Oh, how I love Him, where God and His people are worshipped together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My sweet Jesus, my all in. Savior, my Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Dwell us in Him. Praise God. All right, let's change and sing One Night with the King. God bless you, saints. I hope you received a little something out of the service today. Pray for us this week. We have a meeting, Alan, out in Tucson, Brother Doug Baker's church. It's been a meeting that's been ongoing out there for several years, and there are a lot of great servants of God that'll be there. Brother Darrell get to be there. Brother Tim Pruitt, Brother Ron Spencer, as far as I know, still get to be there, and other great servants of God. So it's always a meeting where the people's expectation runs really, really high. Somehow or another, I don't know how, but I'm privileged to get to preach over them great guys. I count it such an honor. I'm not sure if they'll be streaming the services or not, but if I find out, I'll try to let Brother Jim know. I think they did last year, but I'll try to let you know if they do. 2-hour time change, I think, probably difference in the time, but real great atmosphere there, and the Lord just had a wonderful time there last year. So pray for us. We fly out Tuesday. I think Brother Darrell and Cheryl flies out on Wednesday. Pray for the meetings there. God will just visit His people. Brother David Seiler is in Chile. I've heard from him this morning, or I guess Paraguay now is actually where he's from. But anyway, he got very, very sick, and we certainly want to remember our brother. Got some food poison, apparently, and it just left him really, really sick. Another man that was with him had gotten sick and had taken him to the hospital. So, Brother David, we certainly want to remember him, that God will just be with him. Lord, when Brother David will be speaking here next weekend while I'm gone. Amen. I just love you all so much. I want to spend eternity with you. I thank God for letting us be together in this land. All the places He could have put me as a preacher, I'm glad He put me here. I didn't like East Tennessee when I first moved here. I'm not sure I like some of you people. I'm only teasing. I know some of you didn't like me. Isn't it amazing how you grow together over time? God just puts you together. Wouldn't it be wonderful when we all walk down those streets of gold? No oddities, no differences about us. There forever. Forever.
One night with the King. This is how we'll be there. Changes everything. One day in His courts did forever change my course. One moment in His presence, oh yes, I've never been the same. One night with the King changes everything. Let's do the verse together and then we'll let you go. Praise God. Oh, from the desert to the King, it had been my destiny to be chosen for such a time as this. I didn't know that all my dreams could become realities. Then I saw His face, His love captured me. One night with the King. God bless you, saints. I love you. Changes everything. Yes, Lord. One day in His courts. Hallelujah. Did forever change my course. One moment in His presence. Oh, I've never been the same. One night with the King changes everything.